Good morning. Are we on back there? Good. At the end of World War II, when President Harry Truman addressed the nations and honored the casualties of World War II, he spoke to the nation in these words: "Our debt is to the heroic and valiant men and women in the service of our country can never be repaid. They have earned our undying gratitude. America will never forget their sacrifices. We must make it our business to see this pledge is honored in our generation." It's some concern to me that our generation today has forgotten what it took for this nation to be free. It is the American soldier who fought on the battlefield and gave his life that you have certain rights this morning. Though I don't agree with every protest, men and women in this nation have the right to speak their mind. Because you live in a land that's free, the police cannot break into your house in the middle of the night and drag you away. Because you live in this nation that men and fought and died for, you have certain rights that other people in the rest of the world don't have. And it's challenging, I think, that when you are removed from the smoke of the battlefield, to take this for granted. And what you don't value, you can walk away from easily. If you don't value your marriage, you can walk out of it. If you don't value your education, you can quit. You see, what I'm saying is, it's okay. It's important that somehow that we get a grip on the freedom that we enjoy in this country. And what I'm trying to say before we get into some of the things I want to take your attention to is that we ought to hold those who gave their lives in high esteem. It's not the poet that gave you the right to express your mind. It's not the politician that died on the battlefield that's given you certain rights. We don't understand the oppression that goes on in other lands, the tyranny, how we will always have to fight for our freedom. And when you take it for granted, when you can walk away from it easy, we won't fight for it anymore. Freedom doesn't come easy. It's a bloody business. And there will always be wars. As ugly as war is, sometimes you have to fight. What the liberal doesn't understand, what the liberal takes for granted, is that men had to give up their blood for this country. I had a fellow one time talk to me and said, "Do you think America is the greatest nation in the world?" In defense, he was trying to say that I was wrong. I said, "Yes, I do." For there's no other nation in all the world that has the rights that you enjoy. I want to call your attention to John, the 8th chapter, because today I want to talk to you about freedom. Now, there's all kinds of bondages in the world. There are some, you see, that are in physical bondage. There's all kinds of enslavement that's not on the plantation on the globe. It would be my conjecture that even in the midst of this congregation, some are in mental and emotional bondage. There are people here whose hearts are filled with anxiety and fear. There are those that are in our midst that might be suffering from the bondage of depression. There are all kinds of forms of bondage. But the greatest bondage enslavement that you can be in is spiritual. You see, if you have been imprisoned, you know what bondage is. If you're behind the bars, but I'm trying to suggest to you that even if there's no bars, there's a spiritual bondage which is hard for us to get a grip on. Because it's my guess that even religious people don't feel sometimes the spiritual bondage that they're in. But spiritual bondage can be just as devastating to the heart and the mind as physical bondage. You can be haunted from your past, that the past may have a grip on you. There may have been things that you've done in your life that still haunt you every night of your days. Are you listening? One of the things I wish I could convey to young people is don't live where you have a lot of regrets. It's really hard for me to somehow communicate this. Jesus said, any man that commits sin is in the bondage of sin, but we don't feel it. We look light upon it. There are those who think that forgiveness is a light matter. They think they're forgiven, and so what? But you remember how Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am. And he wasn't talking about poverty. He wasn't talking about I didn't get a new car. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of sin? Has sin ever caused you to weep? Have you ever felt that you were in bondage and sin? Has it ever felt like you that there's such a dark grip on your life and your soul? Have you ever got on your knees and prostrate on your face and said, God, forgive me, be merciful to me, a sinner? When was the last time, may I ask you, that your sins caused you to weep? When it tore you up inside, that it crushed you and beat you? Oh, we look at sin so lightly today. In John, the 8th chapter, beginning in verse number 31. Then Jesus said to the Jews who believed him, if you abide and remain in my word, you are my disciples indeed. If you continue, it validates the genuineness of your discipleship. It authenticates it. If you abide and remain in my word, not begin and stop, but if you continue, then you really are my disciples. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. They answered him, "Well now, we are of Abraham's descendants and never have been in bondage to any man." Remarkable statement. They've been in bondage so many times. 400 years in Egypt, under Assyrian captivity, Babylonian bondage, and at the very moment, under the dominion of Rome. Oh, I could, well, I better not. Jesus said, most assuredly, if you commit sin, then you're in bondage. But a slave does not abide in the house forever, but the son abides. Now, he's going to bring us into a very important phrase. Now, if the Son sets you free, wait a minute. If the Son sets you free, hold on now. If the Son sets you free, then you're free indeed. Not everybody that's free is free indeed. Jesus is making a distinction between being free and being free indeed. When Pharaoh let Israel out of Egypt, they were free. But they weren't free indeed because Pharaoh was still chasing them. And it wasn't until they got to the Red Sea and God divided that thing and Egypt, the Egyptian army drowned in the waters of the Red Sea, did Marion sing that song of redemption. Because now she knows she's free indeed. Oh, I read this week of some escaped convicts. Boy, they broke out of jail. They were free, but they were looking over their shoulder because they weren't free indeed. They're hiding and they're running away and they're fleeing and they're going as fast as they can. They caught some of them up near Canada. They were free. They had escaped prison. They broke out of jail, but they were not free indeed. There are those, you see, who have a terrible husband. I've known women who had to go hide in houses in different places, in different towns, because they were free. They got out of the house. They ran away from their husband, but they weren't free indeed because they were still afraid and they were still fearful lest they be found out, you see. They weren't free indeed. When those runaway slaves, they called them fugitives, when they got off the plantation, they were hunted down. They were free. They got out of there somehow. But they weren't free indeed. You know what? There are some of you here today who have been set free, but you don't feel free indeed. Hey, I've been around long enough to know that brethren come up and say, "Well, you know, I don't know if I'm really saved. I hope I am." You see, you've been set free, but you don't feel like you're really free indeed. You see, if the Son sets you free, Hey, wait a minute now. If the sun sets you free, you don't have to look over your shoulder. You don't have to go into hiding. You don't have to flee. If the sun sets you free, you're free indeed. When you get to the final chapters of the Gospels, they almost read like a mystery novel. Before he goes into the city, he says, find a colt that's never been ridden. In Luke, the 22nd chapter, he says, they say to him, hey, where are we going to hold the Passover? He says, well, go into the city, and you see a man carrying a pot on his head. Follow him, and he'll take you to the place. You may not understand that statement, but men didn't do that. That's women's work. It's women to carry the buckets. And it's a stunning thing. I won't talk too long on this, but I want you to understand something. In Matthew, the 26th chapter, Jesus wants us to remember something. And he establishes a memorial. It's Matthew, the 26th chapter. And I want to read it to you. In the 26th verse. As they were eating the Passover. Now you remember that the Passover commemorated their deliverance out of Egypt. Jesus took bread and blessed. And as he broke it, he gave it to his disciples and he said, take, eat, this is my body. Then he took the cup and gave thanks and he gave it, saying, drink from it, all of you. Now watch it here. For this is the blood of the new covenant. The stunning thing is, Jesus is establishing a new covenant. A covenant is an agreement that you don't negotiate. God sets all the terms, and if you are to enter it, you have to agree to those terms. But when you become a believer, you enter in a covenant relationship with God. Covenants aren't to be broken. If you enter into a covenant, you are to agree to the terms and keep them. Now, this covenant, he says, is sealed with his blood. This is the blood. This is what took the covenant to be established. You see, there can't be a covenant unless there's blood. And Jesus says, I want you to do this. Do what? Now, Jesus said, I want you to do something. And what he wants you to do is take the Lord's Supper. When you take the Lord's Supper, the communion, we are to remember what he did for us. We need to remember what he did, what he went through in order to get you. You are to remember not only what was accomplished, but what it took to accomplish that. You have to remember the ordeal that he went through. You remember that he was whooped and beaten for your transgressions. You see, when you take the Lord's Supper, you are to remember he died for you. You got to remember that you were lost, and now because of what he did, you can be saved. It's talking about remembering. You are to remember something. You are to remember what Jesus did for you. Oh. You see, it costs something. To save you. Jesus had to die for you to be saved. You couldn't do it yourself. He had to pay the price. And he wants us to remember. See, it's easy to forget that, isn't it? It's easy to take that for granted, isn't it? But he wants us to remember in a very reverent and solemn way what he did for us. That is, when you take the Lord's Supper, you know, it can become meaningless if you don't remember. You see, they came together and that was the center and core of worship when they took the Lord's Supper. And on this weekend, we remember the American soldier who brought us out of, who preserved our freedom. And we could go all the way back to Valley Forge, to Omaha Beach, that men had lived and died in order for you to have that freedom. That's what we remember. That's what we honor. And every first day of the week, we come together and we take the Lord's Supper and remember. We need to remember. We need to remember. What it took to get you through it. And the next time you say that God doesn't love you, I want you to remember what he did for you. And the next time you think about, oh, I don't know whether or not I can be saved, you do need to remember that he died that you could be saved. Good night. Good night. You see, when we take the communion, we focus sometimes on the communion and not what the communion focuses on. Wait a minute. We are meticulous about how to do it, and that's okay. And we do it because he said, do this. And we understand it's an ordinance and a commandment of God, so we do it. But I'm telling you, you can do it because it's commanded, but if you don't do it to remember, you ain't doing it. You are to remember and not forget. Jesus gave his life that you could live. Isn't it kind of a really divine thing when you think about memorials? You take the Lord's Supper, which has perishable items. It's not a monument. It's not like going to Mount Rushmore. But a monument or a memorial that perishes. But each week we do it. Remarkable. Remember and don't forget. You know, and I'm going to quit here, but I want you to think about this. Peter said one time, are you listening? Peter said one time about some folks who had forgotten that their sins were purged. And when you forget that, you can walk away from this. And when you don't value that, it's easy to quit. But I'll tell you something. I grew up in the setting sun of World War II. My dad fought in that war. He was a ranger in the 2nd Battalion. And every Veterans Day, marching in the street. Men died so you could live. And Jesus died that you can live forever. Don't forget it. Remember. Remember. You may be here this morning. Sometimes we need things to stir our memory up, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. Could I challenge you that when you take the Lord's Supper each week, to remember and don't forget. If you're here today and you need to respond to the gospel, Jesus died, of course, not so you can just go to church, but he died that your sins be forgiven. And he wants us to remember that. And the way we honor that is in obedience. We repent of our sins, be immersed in the waters of baptism, and then live our lives for God. If you need to come, won't you come as we stand and sing?